RadioInfluence.com. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. We're going to talk a little football today, as we normally do. But before we get that done, I want to give some love to Hess Spinal Centers, 15 locations in the Bay Area. If you have an accident, you're going through this tough time, looking for a doctor, trying to get treatment, you have to go to Hess Spinal Centers because they do it the best. They got 15 locations in the Bay Area. They have the best doctors, the best treatment, and they do it the best. So if you're going through this tough time of a car accident and trying to figure out how to get treated, you got to go to Hess Spinal Centers, 1-800-618-HESS. That's 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress, call Hess. That's my people. So if you have a car accident, you got to call Hess Spinal Centers, that's for sure. All right, we're going to talk a little bit of Buccaneer training camp as we go forward. But first, let's touch on the NFL and what's going on around this beloved league, because it is football time, and I'm pretty excited about that. I'm now getting into watching the NFL live and NFL Today and NFL Total Access and all the NFL shows, trying to figure out what's happening around the league. And there's a lot of things happening around the league, obviously. I'm going to start off by talking about, we talked about the Dolphins in the offseason that were talking about anthem protests, and there's going to be suspensions for anybody that kneels for the anthem. Well, you know, basically, the Dolphins rehash this thing. But for the NFL, I would say for the NFL, it would be a good deal if we could just try to keep this anthem thing as quiet as possible. Because if you really think about it, it's really not the players yelling out, look at me, look at me. It's really the media that's doing it. If two players from the Bengals kneel, it's not a big deal to us here in Tampa Bay unless our press brings it up. So if I was the NFL, I would go to the press and say, let's ease up on this a little bit. We don't need to make such a big deal out of this. And other than the Dolphins bringing up the fact that they were going to suspend and fine players that were going to kneel, I heard Jerry Jones talk about that a little bit. Other than that, there really hasn't been a whole lot said in the offseason, pretty much. So let's see where this goes. The Dolphins haven't said a whole lot now. Stephen Jones, who is Jerry Jones' son, didn't say it, but suggested that players would be cut if they knelt for the anthem. Now, I'm going to tell this to Stephen Jones. Obviously, he has a lot of money because his daddy has a lot of money. But I'm going to say this to Stephen. You got to watch your threats, because it's only going to take one strong African-American player to challenge you, and then we'll see where you stand. Okay, you can easily say that somebody's going to be suspended if they kneel. That's easy to say. What happens in the first week of the season if Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott kneel? What's going to happen then? Tough guy. What are you going to do then? You're going to cut them both? You think it's going to be easy to trade them at that time? So you got to watch how you threaten people. Because, like I said, it only takes one Colin Kaepernick to call your bluff, and then we see where we go from there. So this thing's not over. It's not going to be over, because nothing has been done. Nobody's really touching on the reason why Colin Kaepernick knelt to begin with. And NFL players don't like to be pushed around. They don't. And you know who else doesn't like to get pushed around? Billionaires. So there's going to be a clash before this is all over. That's for sure. Now, looking around the NFL, Andrew Luck is a name that of a player that I'm going to keep a good eye on. Because Andrew Luck is now, I think it's about 17 months that he's had off. This is the problem or the conundrum that the Colts are going to find themselves in. You got a player who's a feature of your team that has 17 weeks off, that you're trying to get ready for a football season, yet you got to kind of baby him. But if you baby him, how is he going to be ready to play a 17-week season? So the Colts are going to have to figure out, they're going to have to find out whether Andrew Luck is ready for a 17-week season. And the only way you can find that out is to give somebody reps. And that's going to be a tough situation for a lot of teams out there. when you think about teams that are dealing with older players, maybe players that have been banged up, and Andrew Luck's not an older player, but he's a player that's been banged up, and you definitely have to take good care of him. And sometimes that's an equation that is hard for a lot of teams, like a team like the Patriots. Okay, Tom Brady didn't go to off-season workouts. Everybody's like, oh my God, Tom Brady didn't go to off-season workouts. Tom Brady's going to be all right, okay? He's going to be all right. A player for the Buccaneers, Damar Dotson, who's in his 10th year, a little bit beat up. Can Damar play? Yeah. Does Damar need some work in the preseason? Needs a little bit. But you have to kind of, you know, weigh that. You got to weigh how much work these guys actually need. And when you're dealing like guys like Andrew Luck, how many reps you want to give him in preseason? Say the first preseason game, you give Andrew Luck 3 snaps, and the second preseason, 4 snaps, and then the third preseason game, maybe you give him 2 series. Now you get to the first week of the season, and you're going to expect Andrew Luck to play 65 offensive plays and think that he's ready for that. And it's not quite that easy. So we're going to see how a lot of these teams deal with a lot of these veteran players and the playing time and what's good for them and what's bad for them. And, you know, it's tough to go, because when you're trying to get through training camp without all these crazy injuries, there's been some injuries already. The Chargers lost tight end Austin Roberts to a torn ACL. Austin Roberts, who went to Plant High School. I actually coached him in Little League Pop Warner football. He was one of my better players because he was a big old kid. His father coached for the Buccaneers, so I know a little bit about him. He's going to be out for the season. And that's the tough situation. How ready are you going to get these players and how much you want to wear them out? It used to be nobody used to be really worried about wearing players out. You know, when I talk to people about what we did in training camp, people almost look at me like I'm lying. Now, we practiced 3 times a day. We hit twice a day, full pads every day. Not one day on, one day off, none of that. Every day we hit twice a day, period. And I think we were probably a little bit more ready than some of these young kids to get in there and play. Now, if anybody wants to ever email me, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. Lou Gertzner, who says he's one of my biggest fans. I appreciate you, Lou. One of his main questions here is, how has the game changed since you were a starting lineman? Well, a lot of things have changed. I mean, my last year as a starter was 98, so we're going back to in the 90s. So it's quite a long time ago, and every sport has evolved in that many years, in 20 years. But I was just watching some of the preseason stuff yesterday. Everybody's huge. Like, it doesn't seem like there's any 6'1" lineman, because I was 6'1", and you would see me in there along with the 6'5" guys. Seems like everybody's 6'5", 330. Everybody's huge. The intensity of the practices are not the same. They just aren't. You know, I'm not sure if these guys are ready for the regular season. The game's a lot faster. I think players are in a lot better shape, although they seem to get injured more often. So the game has changed immensely. It really has. And the NFL is actually trying to cover their own ass and take care of players as much as they can. But I'm not sure if it's to the detriment to the players, because I don't think these guys are completely ready for these regular seasons to come up, because you just see a lot of players going down real quick. And that's definitely a scary thing. So the game in itself has changed, and it's going to continue to change as the game progresses. And I don't know how much bigger the game is going to get, but it seems to be getting bigger every single day. Now, Josh Gordon is a name that we've heard for a while now. Most of the stuff being negative. Josh Gordon is an amazing talent in Cleveland, wide receiver. Been in and out for, I don't know how many, 3-4 years now. Testing positive on drug tests. Just doing bonehead type stuff. When somebody continues to test positive on a drug test, you got to kind of stop saying stupid, and all of a sudden you have an issue, you have a problem, you have a drug issue. If you keep on getting busted on a drug test in the NFL when you're making millions and millions of dollars, you have a drug problem. Because when Josh Gordon is done with football and he no longer has to drug test, he's going to go right to whatever pipe it's his pipe of choice. And it's going to start going downhill from that point. And you know that Josh Gordon has to be a talented dude because, you know, the Browns have been putting up with his bullshit for a long time. They've been putting up with his bullshit, but you still have to worry about his overall health and his overall wellness. And I hope it turns out well, but it just doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. Because the kid's name comes up every year. He didn't show up for the beginning of camp. For whatever reason, I don't know. If you go through a whole offseason and you don't show up for the first day of camp and you're not injured, it's probably not going to work out. You've had the whole offseason to get yourself ready for the first day of camp. If you can't show up for the first day of camp, then that's going to be a serious problem, that's for sure. Now, Darrelle Revis is a name that we know here from the Buccaneers. We got the worst of Darrelle Revis, by the way. Darrelle Revis had a Pro Bowl, Hall of Fame type of career other than when he was here. We got him the year after he got his ACL surgery, and that was definitely the worst year of his career, that's for sure. And he just actually went back and signed with the Jets and retired as a New York Jet, where he's probably going to get inducted into the Hall of Fame because during his time in the NFL, he was probably top 2-3 shutdown corners at that time, along with Deion Sanders and a couple other names. But Darrelle Revis and Revis Island is definitely a big deal. And we got to experience him a little bit here in Tampa Bay, but we actually like to forget some of that, to be honest with you. Now, John Harbaugh came out and said something about the rookies, and I agree with wholeheartedly. He came out and said, you know, these rookies aren't as calloused as they used to be. And I think the word callous is a great word. I like to use the word tenderized as what you do in training camp. You kind of tenderize your body and get yourself ready for all the car crashes that you're going to be part of during the regular season. And, you know, some of these rookies come out and they got the hamstrings and they got the shoulders aches and this and that. You know, the older cats, some of the old school guys, that's just life. You know, when I'm watching football sometimes and I'll see a young player get a stinger and come off the field, I'll start to laugh because I'll say, well, there's your first stinger. Enjoy yourself. It's not going to be your last stinger. And a stinger is something that it's kind of like an electrical shock that goes down your arm from your shoulder all the way to the tip of your fingers. It ain't going to be your first. If it's your first stinger, congratulations. It ain't going to be your last. Because the last game I played against Washington, I had at least a half a dozen stingers. It's just the way it goes. And a lot of these new school guys, they're just not ready to be playing with nicks and bumps and bruises where way back when, and John Harbaugh knows the deal from back then because he was there, the old school guys just played. They figured out ways to play, and that's it, regardless of your situation physically. You just got to find ways to get out there. And with these guys making all that damn money out there, I think that's a hard situation, just expecting them to play through all that crap. So the NFL is changing that way for sure as well. For those of you looking for a little help in the sack, now I'm 51 years old and I don't think I need any help, but we could always use a little bit of help. Like I said, not like I need it, but a little help is always good. I'm getting some help from my people at Blue Chew. You want to go to bluechew.com. That's BLUE Chew.com, and you use a promo code Beckles and you'll get a free sample of Blue Chew. What is Blue Chew? Blue Chew is a chewable, FDA approved active ingredient Viagra and Cialis type of pill. It's not that exactly, but it works just as well. And what's good is you don't have to sit in the pharmacy waiting. It's a lot less cost efficient and it makes a lot more sense. I've taken Viagra, I've taken Cialis, and they mess up my stomach, they mess up my head. But these Blue Chew pills, they've actually real easy. You chew them about 30 minutes before sexy time and you come out like a champion. You should almost put on a superhuman cape. So those of you looking for any help in the sack, and once again, it's not about needing help, it's about being at your best. You want to go check them out at bluechew.com, promo code Beckles, and you're going to get your first shipment for free, so take advantage of that. Now, looking at some of these teams out there, I love to watch all the different NFL publications and, you know, the prognosticators out there. I'm not hearing a lot of great stuff said about the Buccaneers, and I don't know if we deserve it. You know, we're a 5-11 team. We did some things in the offseason. Our starting quarterbacks, you know, suspended for the first three games of the season. Those aren't great equations to make the playoffs. They really aren't. And as Buccaneer fans, we should be scared. We should be leery of how this season's going to go. We really should. But looking around the NFL, there's so many changes here. Like, we had the same starting quarterback in Jameis Winston, kind of, although Ryan Fitzpatrick will be there for the first 3 weeks of the season. But you look around the NFL and all the different changes, when you see top-notch quarterbacks changing teams, you don't see that very often. You don't normally see quarterbacks that had the year of Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins, statistically, is an excellent quarterback. He hasn't taken his team to do much, but Kirk Cousins can put some statistics out there. Alex Smith changed teams. Alex Smith's another quarterback who has had quite a bit of success in the past and has great numbers and has won games. Case Keenum may have been the MVP of the league last year. He was pretty darn close. He was pretty damn good. And Jimmy Garoppolo, 7-0 as a quarterback going to San Francisco, and they have high expectations for their football team over there as well. So if you're a fan of quarterbacks changing teams, you just don't see that very often. Or you'll see a team change quarterbacks and go to a rookie, but you don't see a lot of teams changing quarterbacks and going to, you know, established veterans. And that's what a bunch of these teams are going to be doing. So that's going to be a thing to keep an eye on. Everybody, a lot of people like to latch on to a team or two and say this is going to be the team that's going to be the surprise team. This year, it seems like the Giants are that team, okay? And I think the reason is because last year, everybody thought they were going to be great. They underachieved. They went and they got Saquon Barkley from Penn State, who looks like all the talent in the world. I'm leery of running backs. I'm scared of running backs, and they look like a hamstring ready to happen. I wouldn't bet my house he starts 16 games this year. That's just the way it happens in the NFL. And to me, if you're a Giants fan and you're hoping for the best and you're optimistic, there's only one thing that scares me about the Giants team. Eli Manning has taken the team to two Super Bowls and won two, I believe, got MVP in two of them. If you watched enough Giants football, and I watched enough last year, I didn't watch a whole lot, Eli Manning has clearly lost his edge. And your edge is what Jameis has. Jameis can't consider himself a winner, but he has an edge. Ben Roethlisberger has an edge. Tom Brady has an edge to him. Eli Manning has lost his edge. And when I say lost his edge, last year a couple of times, I saw somebody just lay a hand on Eli Manning, and he just crumbled to the ground. He doesn't want to get hit anymore. He doesn't want to be part of the physicality of football anymore. And when that's the case, I just don't think you can really succeed as an NFL quarterback. I really don't. So obviously a quarterback's important. Saquon Barkley is going to be a nice piece, but running backs can't win games by themselves, that's for sure. I mean, games are won in the trenches, but you need good offensive linemen, good defensive linemen, and good quarterbacks as well. There's a couple people holding out of training camp, and I get it. Odell Beckham Jr. has not shown up yet, coming off an injury. I mean, that's not a good time to ask for more money. It really isn't. But these other two names that come up here, Aaron Donald, and Khalil Mack, if you talk about the two most ferocious defensive players in the NFL, if you don't have them in the top five, you're wrong. Aaron Donald is by far the most disruptive down lineman in the NFL. It's not close. And Khalil Mack is the best edge rusher in the NFL so far. Not close. And I'm not talking about up and down. I'm talking about Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald are good all the time. They're good all the time. And those are the type of players that need to get paid. I know Aaron Donald sitting there with the Rams, you know, watching them re-sign Todd Gurley when they don't have to. You got to be thinking, that when is my time? When is my money? So we'll see what happens with all those. Those guys are not going to make it to camp. They'll hold out of camp. They'll come back in a regular season, and they'll probably be just fine. And they're going to end up getting their money eventually, that's for sure. Now, there was a couple other players that were signed. I saw that Jake Matthews from the Atlanta Falcons, who I've been watching since day one. Bruce Matthews is his father, who I played in the league at the same time. Bruce Matthews, Hall of Famer, played every offensive line position, including center, including tackle. Just a fantastic lineman. Jake Matthews comes out, high draft pick. I've been watching him since he was a rookie. Came out the box, was injured, struggled a little bit. I wondered about his future. Well, his future is just fine. He just signed a five-year, $75 million contract for a left tackle. I remember the days where $4 million was unheard of. Five-year, $75 million contract. Now, you would think that, well, gosh darn it, nobody's going to make more money than that. Oh, no. Taylor Lewan from the Titans, 5 years, $80 million. Wow. That's amazing, the money these guys are making. I applaud them. Good for you. I want the players to be making their money. That's for sure. And that's the going rate now. If you want to go out there and find an offensive tackle, a left tackle, that is going to be as good as Taylor Lewan or Jake Matthews, it's going to cost you $15 or $16 million. So for those of you guys that want Donovan Smith gone, it ain't quite that easy. He is an NFL left tackle. He's not an elite one, but he's still an NFL left tackle. And if you get rid of him, you don't know what you're going to end up with. So we'll see how it all ends up. Damar Dotson is a guy playing right tackle for us now. He's working on his last legs. I don't know. This may be his last year. So we're going to have to find something to do with our tackles here in the near future. That's for sure. Let's start talking about our beloved Buccaneers. And it seems like 80% or more of the conversation seems to be going towards quarterback here. And for good reason, with Jameis Winston out the first three games of the season, and there are three doozies, all right? They're going to throw against three amazing football player teams with all have history of winning, all had great years last year. Every one of them has a great quarterback. I mean, those are hard games in any situation against any team. And when you have, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback, not knocking him, he played pretty darn well last year when he was in there. I would hope as a Buccaneer fan that you would rather Jameis in there. If not, then you may get your wish, okay? Because when Jameis comes in week four, he's going to be under about as much pressure as he's ever been in his entire life. But I keep on getting asked the question, what happens if Ryan Fitzpatrick goes 3-0 and he plays well? Let's deal with that when it comes. And let's hope that's the biggest problem we have as Buccaneer fans, is whether we don't know whether to start Ryan Fitzpatrick or Jameis Winston. Let's hope that's the biggest problem we have. Because right now, I don't see it as that problem. I see it as a problem as we have Ryan Fitzpatrick right now is taking number one reps with the number one Buccaneer offense, and Jameis Winston isn't. And he's our starting quarterback. That's a problem. Every rep that Jameis Winston doesn't take is a problem, because Jameis Winston is supposed to be getting, this is the year he has to get better. This is the year he comes into his own and he becomes that NFL quarterback, period. And sitting on the bench and not taking those extra reps hurts. I mean, if you miss 10 reps in the preseason, that's tough sledding, I'm telling you. And the Buccaneers have to figure out this year whether Jameis is worth taking the chance on. I just finished telling you about offensive tackles going for 5 years, you know, $16 million a year. If you got to pay Jameis, it's $30 million. It's $30 million, 25 of which is going to be guaranteed. A year, not 1 year. It's going to be numerous years. So you're going to have to roll out the Brinks truck if you want to re-sign Jameis Winston. So the Bucs got to figure out this year whether Jameis is good enough to take a chance on again. They've taken a chance on him at least once already. Whether it's panned out or not, I don't know. I mean, everybody else has to be the judge of that. The Buccaneers have to be the judge of that. But for them to come out and not put his name, and not to put his likeness up on the side of the building, this is real life stuff with Ryan Fitzpatrick taking the reps for the ones. He has to. If they lose the first three games of the season, they're done. They lose the first three games of the season, the Glazers are going to give them a call. They'll give them a call. Just, you know, tight it up. Because you go 0-4, you're done. And when Jameis Winston comes in there in the fourth week of the season, he's going to have a pressure on him that he's never, ever seen before. And I mean never. So this year is not going to be boring by any means. It's going to be eventful. I'm scared it's going to be almost John Gruden eventful, and that's not a good eventful to me. That's just a lot of bull crap and off-the-field garbage we don't need to be dealing with. Now, I went by One Buck Place the other day, had a good meeting with the Buccaneers and Bud Light, and I'm going to be doing some good promotional stuff with those guys, and was in their office upstairs where all the big willies go near Brian Ford's office, and they're all running into the new facilities. The new facility is a great place to go because they're not going to waste any time by getting rained out, because we used to get rained out all the time. Buccaneers get rained out because it rains here all the time. But they're actually changed the whole thing with the training camp. If you normally go to training camp outside One Buck Place, they have all the stands out there. The stands are gone. If you go to One Buck Place now and you stand outside at the building looking out at the practice field, it's just practice fields and there's no stands. There's nothing hanging around outside the building. Everything is now inside the practice facility, and they're going to start off a lot of their practices outside, and then they're going to move them back inside to the practice facility and do a lot of their 11-on-11 drills inside. Now, as a player, don't love to be inside, all right? I like to be out of the heat, but don't want to be full pads inside, you know, on turf, on a track. My knees are hurting. Like, I don't want all that. And to be honest with you, as hot as it is outside these days, the Bucs got to get used to that heat, man. I mean, that heat is not, it's not something that you get out in two or three times and you're used to it. When we used to play against other players, especially early in the season, they used to all ask, are you guys practicing this stuff? Yep, every single day. And you do get acclimated to it and you do kind of get used to it, although it still hurts. But the practice facility can be a plus and it could be a minus as well. If you go back and see the possibilities this year with the Buccaneers, in the first three games of the season, now we have Ryan Fitzpatrick going out, an older, elder statesman, a tough guy. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick as a backup quarterback. I really do. Intelligent guy. He's a guy who's going to be able to help Jameis Winston out. But we have three whole games to play. And you know what happens sometimes when you have a quarterback that maybe is a little older and doesn't move quite as well, although Ryan Fitzpatrick is a mobile guy, they're going to come after his ass, okay? They knock Ryan Fitzpatrick out of the game, then you have Ryan Griffin in as quarterback, makes for a long season. And the coaches are real high on Ryan Griffin, that's great. But we all know that Ryan Griffin is not going into the football game and winning any games for us anytime soon, because the Bucs aren't talented enough around Ryan Griffin to win those games. We'll find out if we're talented enough around Ryan Fitzpatrick. And that's the only way we win football games. It's just if everybody brings their A game. DeSean Jackson has to bring his A game. I want to say if you compare DeSean Jackson statistically when he was with Jameis as Ryan, I think he might have had better numbers with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So we'll see how that goes. Mike Evans, you got to get back to the way you were last year. Cameron Brait and O.J. Howard, you guys got to be the best tandem tight end group in the NFL. If that's the case, we got a chance. And we got to rush the quarterback. We got a bunch of new names in there. I was getting tired of some of the old names who just didn't get to the quarterback. This year, we got a bunch of new names, and let's hope that these new names get to the quarterback and get that quarterback on the ground, because if we rush the passer like we did last year, we'll be probably about 5-11, something around there. And we have to find a way to weather those first three games, which would have been a bear with Jameis Winston, period. With Jameis Winston, the Bucs have a hard time winning one of those three games with Jameis Winston. So football season is upon us. I'm excited. I'm starting to see commercials for football and Thursday night football and Monday night and Sunday night football, so I'm getting excited. Fantasy football is right on us as well, and we're going to be talking some fantasy football on this show as well. So this has been In the Trenches. For those of you that would like to give me an email and hit me up with any kind of questions, Buccaneer season is right around the corner. I know you guys have some questions out there. Ian Beckles at RadioInfluence.com. I have a couple other podcasts as well. I have one, the Cannabis Podcast. If you guys are curious about legal marijuana, which it is very legal here in the state of Florida, And we also have Flavor in Your Ear, which talks a little bit of pop culture, a little politics, and a little this and that. So you definitely want to tune in to all three. I appreciate you guys tuning in to In the Trenches. This has been fun. Football season is on us. Everybody enjoy your week. And go out and watch the Bucks a little bit. They can use some cheering. Peace out.
You have been In the Trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence. This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Listen, this could ultimately change depending on injuries and the flow of the season, but Philadelphia is clear favorite, and I would think that one of the teams, the Giants or Cowboys, could get to that 9-7 mark, potentially 10-6, and be a wild card type of team. Going to be a tough going, though, because if Green Bay can be improved, Minnesota, that's two playoff teams. The West could have one playoff team in the Rams. Probably the Niners are in the same boat as the Cowboys or the Giants, maybe slightly below in terms of youth. But I think that in the South, you've got two teams in the Saints and the Falcons that are more talented than the Cowboys or the Giants. So if you're looking at it, it's going to be quite a challenge to maybe get a wild card spot as a second place team in the NFC East. Possible, but certainly long way from a sure thing.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.